Welcome to Hoboken Grace. If this is your first time with us, I just want to echo what Romine said earlier. We hope that you feel right at home this morning. My name is John Carlos, and I am not the teaching pastor here. I'm his sidekick. True story. Chris, last Halloween, he wanted to dress up as Batman and Robin, and I was like, dude, that's a little over the top. I understand we're friends, but we should not do that. He didn't really do that, but it would have been awesome if we did. Before we start today, I just kind of want to let you in on a little secret about preparing to be up here. See, it's not easy for me to prepare to be up here because I have the attention span of a fly, and it's pretty hard. You got to concentrate a lot. And that's why I admire Chris so much, because the dude is intense, right? It's well known around the office. He gets like this hawk-eye vision. It's like he can see right through you, and you're like, wow. And he gets a frown. You've seen the frown on Sundays. But right, I admire him, because for me, it'd just be easier if I could just prepare a few phrases or sentences, maybe in 140 characters, and then just come up here and read those to you, and then we'd be done, right? And there's probably studies of how my generation has been completely destroyed by technology and all the effects that it's had on my attention span and whatnot. But the point is, today, I really think that God has to say a lot more to us than that, what can it be explained in 140 characters. And if you've been with us for the past few weeks, you know that we're in the between series, and next week we kick off our framework series, which is going to be awesome. But right now we're in between series, and we're taking the opportunity to share what God has put on our heart, what we believe we need to bring to you, and what we need to kind of teach to our church. And last week, Chris talked about our core values, and specifically he talked about incarnation, right? This idea of becoming like those around us, that like Christ who came and became like one of us, if we're going to impact the people around us, we have to become like them. And today's conversation builds on that, right? Today I want to talk to you about engaging the world globally, right? This was Christ's mission, and I think it's our mission today. And this word mission, it has tons of definitions inside the church, outside the church. Everyone has their take on what mission means, right? But today we'll walk through some verses, some passages from Scripture that I think clearly demonstrate that our mission today is the same mission that Christ had over 2,000 years ago. So let's dive in quickly into Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says this. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. So go make disciples of all the nations. Then Mark 16, 15, it says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Go into all the world. Then in John 20, 21, this is after he's resurrected, he says, again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And in Acts 1, 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So pretty much the same thing is repeated over and over again, right? And even someone like me who has short attention span can pick up on this, right? Christ is saying, to those who believe, who have trusted me, who call yourselves disciples, this is what you're supposed to do. To take this message, to go to the ends of the nation and spread this beautiful message, right? He's saying that to those who believe. And the fact is that if I'm reading this and I'm hearing what he's saying and I understand that he's telling me to go and I'm not going, I'm being disobedient, right? Because it's a direct command from God that's saying, hey, you trust me, you believe me, you call yourself my disciple, go. This message is to be spread to the ends of the earth. So in not doing that, I'm not trusting God, and I'm being disobedient. And the fact is that this idea of sharing, you've probably heard it tons of times. If you've been around church for a little bit, you've probably heard, you know, that you have to start sharing. And Chris read one of our core values, multiplication, and it said that discipleship starts the moment that you believe in God. So the very moment that I said, yeah, I trust God, I believe what you're saying, I was supposed to start sharing. Whatever little information I had, I was supposed to start sharing. And the thing is, some of you, maybe you're still kind of walking through what does that mean to share. You're struggling a little bit. You don't know how that's going to look like. You know, you're a little timid about it. But others are doing a great job of that. And we're seeing people come to know Christ. And we're seeing more people come to know who God is and the truths that he lays out for us. And we need to keep focusing on that. But these passages don't talk about sharing, right? These passages are clearly speaking about going, right? Of taking this message beyond this community and expanding it to the earth, right? And so growing up, I heard this all the time, right? Go, go. It's like a scratch CD. It's on the same verse. It's like, go, go, go. You gotta go. You have to go. You have to go. And you know what happens to me after I listen to something or I hear something over and over again? And if you're married, you know what I'm talking about, right? It starts to fade, right? It starts to lose its meaning. It's not something that I wake up thinking about. It's not something that when I walk out the door, I'm thinking about. I have no plan or strategy of how I'm going to go or how I'm going to take this message outside of Hoboken. It's just not part of my thinking process. And if someone were to ask me, hey, where is this idea or this truth in your top priority? It probably doesn't make my top five. It doesn't make my top 10, and since we're at church and we can't lie, and I don't want to sound over spiritual, it doesn't make my top 20. It just doesn't, right? It's not something that is ingrained in who I am. And the reason is that most of the time, I'm just a consumer of this message. And like Chris said last week, right, consumerism infects our faith. So the very thing that I've been called to do, my very purpose, starts to fade because I come in on Sunday and I listen to the message and then I go read a couple articles and then during the week, you know, I hear to a podcast to get the midweek boost, make sure that I'm still a good Christian and that I have enough information. And then I go to dinner group and I listen. But the fact is, I'm still here. Until I started to work for Hoboken Grace and then I had to go. It was part of my job description. I had to go to Haiti and I had to lead the trip there. And the thing is, when people mention vacations, you don't hear like, hey, honey, where are we going to vacation this year? Haiti? Nope. No one says that. No one. But we had a beach where we stayed at in Haiti. We had a beach and it was great. It was awesome. Some people did not go in because they said that, you know, raw sewage is thrown out into the sea a few miles from there. So they chose not to get in. I got in. The temperature was great. My ear hurt for a few days and I don't know why that was, but it was great, right? But six of us got to go down there with a group from Orlando. And we partnered with this organization called New Missions. And what they do is that they help build churches and schools in Haiti, right? And right now they're in a huge rebuilding phase because I think the number was they lost around like 40% of their buildings because of the earthquake. So we got to go down there for a week. And basically what we did for a week was sand benches. Sand benches. And sanding benches over and over again is not fun. It's necessary. You see, for them, it's completely necessary. Right now, they're replenishing all their schools, all the buildings that they're building, they're replenishing it. So it was necessary that we do that, right? And the impact that we had, I think in a week, 4 days or so, we did what it would have taken them a month to do worth of benches because we went, right? And as part of that, we got to go to the schools and meet some of the kids when we were delivering the benches. And we got to meet JB the Best. JB the Best, that's what he goes by. Who calls himself the best? JB does, and he was the best. He was the best. Because of what New Missions and the people who are partnering with them have allowed, he has an education, and he's learned a little English, so what he does is he puts together, he types up at school a few phrases in Creole and English to help kind of the foreigners talk to the kids and for the kids to talk to the foreigners. And on there, he puts his number just in case you want a vacation to Haiti and you need a translator. JB the Best is available, right? But I got to go down there. And it was incredible. The experience that to be down there and to do this was incredible. And this idea of sharing, right, is what we're called to do. And here's the thing. Not sharing and not going, it's not acceptable, right? And God has some pretty harsh things to say about this responsibility that I have to do this. If you would go to Ezekiel 3:18 with me, it says, "If I warn the wicked, saying, 'You are under the penalty of death,' but you fail to deliver the warning, they will die in their sins, and I will hold you responsible for their deaths." What? See, that's one of those verses that when I read it, like, I close the Bible, and it's like, I didn't read that, I'm going to completely ignore it. The app crashes, right? It's like, I don't want to be responsible for that. And we talked about the truth of and the reality of hell a few weeks ago. And so this is our responsibility. It's not optional. But you see, I don't want you to come into church and for me to just kind of talk to you about, okay, this is what you need to do. Today I want to focus on what you're missing out on. You see, God always leads us to better things. He's always leading us to something that is better. So he doesn't just want you to experience the love of your family. He wants you to expand that love. He doesn't just want you to impact this community. He wants you to impact the world, for you to learn what it means not only to love your family, but also to love those kids in Mexico, the orphans that we've been working with down there, right? He wants to expand your dreams. He wants something better for you. That's what he's calling us to, right? So it's not only our responsibility, it's not something we have to do, but it's an opportunity for God to expand the fullness of his love in your life. So where do we start? Where do we start, right? And to be honest, I really think that this is going to take extreme measures, right? Extreme action, extreme love. Because, see, there's people out there who are willing to do crazy stuff, right? And there was a supposedly 99% that went to Occupy Wall Street. It was more like 0.5% that went down there and spent a month down there, right? But what are we going to be willing to do, right, to spread this message, to spread the hope of Christ? What are we going to be willing to do? And I don't know about you, but the real question for me is, if they spent a month down there in the middle of downtown Manhattan, they didn't have showers. How did they shower? If they're there for a month, how did they shower? Baby wipes? Maybe. Maybe that was their option. But you know what I know? Baby wipes don't work after a while. They just don't. I was down in Peru. True story. I was down in Peru for 3 days on the Inca Trail. And one of the people on the trip with us, they didn't want to get into the river because it was too cold. So they opted not to bathe. And they opted for the baby wipes. Baby wipes do not work. After a few days, we knew exactly where that person was on the trail, right? So what's the point of all this, right? What I'm saying is that we will need to take steps. We will need to be bold. And the first step that I think we need to take is to shift our goals and to shift our dreams. And I love how Paul says it in Acts 20:24. He says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." So living this out daily, taking this purpose and this mission which we've been given, is going to mean that we need to shift our agenda. And here's the thing. I know that we all want to make a difference, that in some way, shape, or form, we all want to go. We want to impact lives. It's just part of who we are. And I've shared my story here before, and I'll probably keep repeating it, and you'll be like, I don't want to hear your story anymore, right? When I took this role to come to Hoboken Grace, but it's just one of those things that marks your life, right? It's like there's a before and an after, and I've had a few of those in my life, marriage, the birth of my son, and the shift of my dream. Because I remember as a 12-year-old, growing up, listening to my dad talk about his cousin down in Mexico that had built a small hotel. He ran his own businesses. He was well off at a young age. And I remember wanting that so bad. I mean, it drove me. It drove how I spent my money as a 15-year-old. It drove me when I went to college and how I studied and I became a nerd. And it's not bad to be a nerd, right? But what I'm saying is my motives were selfish. And the thing is, most of our goals are selfish and self-centered. And so if I was going to impact Hoboken the way that God was calling me to, it meant that I needed to shift my goals. My finances, my career, all those things, I needed to shift and accept what God was providing and what God was putting before me. And God provides better dreams. Once you are willing to surrender and to give over those things to God, He provides better dreams. So if we want to effectively take on this purpose and live out this mission, it means that, you know what, the 401ks, our diplomas, all those things, those aren't life's greatest achievement. It isn't. You know what life's greatest achievement is? The eternal salvation of a soul. That's life's greatest achievement. The eternal salvation of a soul. That you partner with God in helping someone find their way back to God. That is life's greatest achievement, because everything else will vanish, but that will last for eternity. So if we're going to do this right, we need to shift our goals. And I love how Rick Warren says this. He calls it, in Purpose Driven Life, he says, shifting from self-centered thinking to other-centered thinking. Because we must be willing to think less about ourselves and be thinking more about others. Beyond here, to the world. And on a more practical level, what does that mean? On a more practical level, that means that some of us need to start saving today in order to go to a trip next year, right? We need to give up our venti macchiato, triple latte, whatever it is, and start saving. Because, you know, latte in Latin, it means very expensive coffee. So we need to give things up, right? Maybe you have a Rubbermaid box full of clothes under your bed that you haven't used in a year. Maybe you sell some of that. Or maybe for Christmas, you ask for cash, right? You tell your parents and your family members, look, this is what I'm looking to do next year. I really want to go beyond my community and impact people. So you ask for cash. Because it's going to take everything that we have. It's going to take that we shift how we use our money. Because ultimately, how you spend really tells what you care about. That's what it is. The second thing I think that on practical levels we have to do is we have to give up our time. Because in order to go and spend a week down in Mexico, it means that your vacation days are no longer vacation days, and they're just a time for you to make a difference in someone's life. And maybe you have a few days left this year that you haven't taken off. Don't take those off. Carry them into 2013, right? So that you can go. Maybe you go to the shore every year, and next year, instead of going to the shore for a week, you take that week to go to India and put on a vacation Bible school for the kids in the Yasam village. Or for others, maybe you have a trip planned with your kids to go down to Disney World. You know what? They'll grow out of Disney World. But you could give them the opportunity to make a lifelong friendship with one of the orphans in Mexico. Because you know what? We have to shift our goals. What's at stake is too much. It's too important for us to just stay here. And we have to give it everything that we have. And up to this point, if you're here for the first time at church and you're like, wow, what you're saying, you know, sounds really good, but you're kind of talking to people who say they do believe and who do trust God. I don't trust God and I don't believe Him at all. Fine. But you know what I know about you? I know that you want to live a life of significance. I know that you want to make a difference. I know that you want to see those kids who have no hope, who have no food, live out their greatest potential. And you have some experiences and some skills that God has given you that you can do that, because you were created in God's image. So that desire is in you. It's in all of us. And today I want to challenge all of us. And I'm new at this preaching thing, so I don't know if it's politically correct for the person who's speaking to challenge his audience. Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm challenging you. Because you know why? What I know is that if you give this a chance, if you go, I'll guarantee that when you see someone's life changed, when you see these kids who've been abused, who have no reason to trust any adult in their life, welcome you with open arms, you know what I know? You'll be addicted. And you'll want to go every chance that you get. Because that's how great God's love is. Because His dreams are better. Because He wants to show us that, you know what? Maybe you haven't gone. But what I'm sending you to, what I'm asking you to shift your goals and dreams, it's because there is something much better for you to experience out there. So that's the first thing. Shift our goals and our dreams. Get your story straight. That's the second thing we need to do, is get our story straight. And the cool thing of being up here is, when I'm preparing, right, the first person who gets called out is me, right? When I'm preparing to speak, God's like, hey, are you taking notes? I know you're taking notes, so write this down. Get your story straight. And what do I mean by get your story straight? What I mean by that is that, you know what, Christians, we're not very effective at sharing our story. So you're at work and someone says, hey, do you believe in Jesus, or why do you believe in Jesus? And you're just like, yeah, I didn't hear that. I'll ignore that. They're like, no, seriously, why do you believe Jesus? And you're like, well, Jesus, you know, 2,000 years ago, still today, Jesus, he's a good guy, right? And the reason more people aren't attracted to the gospel is not that we're only bad at telling God's story, we're bad at telling our own story. Our own story. And for some reason, I don't understand why this is the case, because it's not the case for so many other things in our lives, right? We prepare, right? If you're going to interview, what do? You prepare, you think through all the questions that they might ask you. And I prepared for my interview for Goldman Sachs. I had 9 to 10 interviews, and I was prepared for questions like, so what is your 5 to 10 year plan with this position? Why do your qualifications make us feel better about ourselves? Or, what is your favorite color? And I was like, gold. Get it? Good. Some of you got it, right? So I was prepared. And we prepare for these things. And I'm not saying that you have to have all the answers, or that you will have all the answers. What I'm saying is that just prepare. Take some time to do this. And we do this in all aspects. How many of you remember Hurricane Irene? A few? Yes, everyone? Okay, so Hurricane Irene, luckily, didn't come around here, didn't affect us, but being from the Caribbean has its advantages, so I was the hurricane expert for that week to all my friends. I was telling them how to tape their windows, fill up their tubs with water. Well, Hurricane Irene didn't come around here, so my precautions started to be laughed at, and people were making fun of my ideas. But if Hurricane Irene would have come, we would have been prepared, right? So we need to start preparing. We need to start getting our story straight. And the second thing is, you know what? We take ourselves way too seriously. If you're a clown at work, maybe that's just me, but if you're a clown at work, hey, and they ask you the God question, and suddenly you kind of get all uptight and go into a convoluted jibber-jabber, they're not going to take you or your God seriously. You need to just share what you know. Share your experience. Where are you currently in your journey, right? Let them know, you know what, I think I've figured some things out. There's other things that, you know, I'm still working on and that I'm still trying to learn, and this is where I'm at. Because you know what, one thing I don't ever want someone to say about me is that I didn't let my guard down. Right? That I didn't open up my heart. That I didn't cry in front of someone. That I was way too perfect. And if someone says, hey, it seems like you have it all together, it seems like, you know, you're pretty good, either one, they don't know you, or two, you're faking it. And people hate people who fake it. Because the truth is, I'm just as messed up as anyone else. The difference is that I've accepted grace, experienced grace, and lived by grace. And that's the story that we need to be telling. The messy, authentic story that is held together by God's grace. That's the story that they need to be hearing. And sharing knowledge is good, right? Sharing your knowledge is great, but sharing experience is so much better. Picture this. Let's say you're in Normandy, and you're out there on a tour, and your tour guide is saying, you know, there was a great battle here during World War II, and he goes on and says all the statistics about the people who died there. You're probably going to be pretty interested in what he has to say. I mean, you paid to go all the way to Normandy, so you're listening to what he has to say. But what if your tour guide was there? What is if your tour guide was there during the battle? And he says of how he ran on that beach and the cannons were going off and his friends were dying left and right. And he got injured on that beach by a bullet. And he survived to tell the story of victory. Ah, first-hand experience. It engages your audience. It captures them. So we need to witness what we've evidenced. Witness what you've evidenced. Take the time to prepare, to get your story straight. Don't answer it how I would answer it, how your friend would answer it. Just let them know what you've experienced, what you've learned, what you're learning. And if you don't know where to start, if you're like, okay, I just don't know where to start, and you need some questions, on the back of your connection card, that's in your program, you can write questions, and I'll be happy to send you some questions this week so that you can start thinking through your story and how you're going to get this story out there. So first one, shift our goals. Second, get your story straight. Third thing is we need to find them and serve them. Last week, Chris talked about incarnation, right? That we needed to start becoming like the people around us today, here, right now. And what does that mean? That doesn't mean that you join a team here at Hoboken Grace to serve, because that's serving believers, and that's called ministry, and God calls us to do that, so that's great. Right? What do? Well, we said we can go to more parties, and you need to go to more parties. But there's tons of other opportunities, right? You can join a Zog Sports League, or you can join the reading club at the library, or Hoboken Volunteers, or party with a purpose. The point is, you need to be surrounded by more people who will ask you the question. Build more relationships with people who at some point you'll be able to share the hope that Christ has given you. Because that's what we're all called to do, right? We're all called to do that. And we don't need more Christian clubs, right? We don't need more Christian sports league. We need to start going. We need to start sharing with people because God calls us to people. We learned that last week, right? He doesn't call us to career. God calls us to people. And today we've learned that not only that, but that he is calling us to go, to be sent to the ends of the world. So my question for us today is, where and to whom will you go? Where and to whom will you go? Because, like in Acts 1:8, where will your Samaria be? Where will your Jerusalem be? Because I think that this means that actually for some of us, we need to literally go. No, I'll correct that. For all of us, we need to go. Because you know what? It's easy to write a check to some faraway place, to some missionary. But God is calling us to get involved, right? To take a risk, to go to the unexpected, to put ourselves on the line, to be bruised in order to get this message out. It's way too important. There's way too many people for us to stay. And the mission is here and there. It's local and global. And it's good to give, but giving and going is better. And that is true for our community here too. A few years back when Hoboken first started, right, there were people who said, you know what, this message needs to be known in Hoboken. So they gave. And then there was others who said, you know what, I'm going to give and I'm going to go. And they came listening humbly to what we had to say about this city and about the people in this city. And they came and they served and they put aside their expectations and they put aside their convictions of how they thought it should be shared here. And they came, and we have to do the same thing. And that's why next year we're planning 12 trips next year. 12 trips, why? Because we want to give you the opportunity to go, to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation and to share what God has done in your life. We want to give you the opportunity to embrace this message of being sent to the ends of the world. And we not only that, we want to go beyond that. I can't wait to see someone up here and be praying for someone who decides, you know what, I'm going to go live in the middle of nowhere where it's not safe to live, where no one wants to go, because this is what I know that God is calling me to. So the goal for next year is to each and every one of you to go on one of these trips, for each and every one of you to experience what it means to be sent, to share this message. It's our mission. It's all of our missions. These verses have clearly demonstrated that this is what we're called to do. And in doing that, we will be able to experience God's fullness, his love, and live out our mission. So start shifting your goals. Start working on your story here and join us there. Take a risk. It's the best risk that you'll ever take in your life. Would you guys pray with me? God, I just thank you that you would consider us to partner with you in achieving the mission that you started so long ago. that you would trust us with this. God, and I pray that we don't listen to this and just go on, that it doesn't fade in the noise of our lives. That today we start taking action points in order to make this happen. This message is way too big to be contained in this city. God, I pray that we take it seriously, that the greatest thing that we could do, an impact for eternity, is that someone may come to know you. So God, today my prayer for each and every one of us is that we trust you with our lives, with our finances, our time, where we're at, and that we may be bold. Bold for you. Take a risk for you. And we thank you because you did the same for us. You died on that cross so that we may be reunited with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.